Well, if you're going to lead on any level in any area of life, whether it's in your home or in the workplace, in the church and spiritual things, I'm going to tell you that you're going to be tested. Doesn't that sound fun? Now, I don't know if it'll make you feel any better, but the thing about that is that you're going to be tested whether you lead or not. I'm just telling you that if you're going to lead in any way, you're going to be tested. All of us go through testing. We all face challenges. We all deal with trouble and difficulty and trials. And wow, this year has been a year of tests, hasn't it? But even the one who runs from leading is going to face trouble. In fact, sometimes more of it. Just ask old Jonah. What happens when you run from leading? God has a way of hunting you down. But it's how we handle the tests that come our way that will determine the kind of leader and the level of leadership that we grow to. It's not looks, it's not talent or opportunity that determines our leadership ability and where we end up as a leader. I know those are the things that the world looks at, and I know it's easy for us to kind of get in a worldly mindset. We start thinking that those are the things that really matter, but I'm telling you, in the kingdom, it's what you do with opportunity. It's the character that's developed in you. It's that you grow in Him that really makes you a great leader. There is such a void, such a lack of true leadership in our world right now. I'm not saying there's not any leaders. I'm just saying there are so few godly leaders in our world right now, in the government, in the workplace, in school, and in many homes even, and sometimes even in the church. There is a lack of godly leadership. Oh, how we need to allow God to raise us up to be leaders. Too many of us are failing the tests. You know, most of us, when we're in school, well, I hear people say, oh, I hated tests. I actually kind of liked tests. I hated all the daily homework, and I hated having to write anything. And what I hated the worst of all was even the thought of having to get up and say something or participate in class discussion. But I kind of liked tests. That was simple to me. But most people hate tests, and you know what? When it comes to life's tests, I don't know anybody, including myself, that likes them. But listen to what the scripture says. And by the way, I've joked many times that this is one of my least favorite passages. But anyway, here we go. James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This is one of those passages that sometimes loses a little bit in the translation, especially if you're looking at the King James Version, because instead of various trials, it says diverse temptations. And most of us, the only thing we can relate that to would be scuba divers that were tempted to take treasure that didn't belong to them. But that's not what it's talking about when it says diverse temptations. It's talking about all kinds of trials, all kinds of tests. And guess what? If you're a believer, there's going to be all kinds of trials, all kinds of tests that come your way. James tells us there will be a test of trials. You need to be ready for the test of trials because they're coming. Well, you know that. We've all been there already. But when you look at this passage from a leadership perspective, I believe it really helps you get to the place where you can face those trials with joy. You see, that's what why I always had a difficult time with these verses, is because when I'm facing a trial, when I'm going through some hardship, some struggle, most of the time it doesn't bring me joy. Anybody want to say amen? But here's the thing. If we can understand that God is doing a work in us, that through this trying of our faith, through this test that we're going through, he says that perseverance, you see, in the King James, or the New King James there, it says patience, but it's not talking about patience like the way we commonly use the word patience, you know, where you sit and wait. I'm not good at that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not good at sitting and waiting, but that's, fortunately for me, that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about that ability to just keep going, to persevere. And he says that when perseverance has done its work in us, it says we're going to be complete, not lacking anything. Now, in the New King James there again, you see he says perfect. We got any perfect people here tonight? Well, not in the sense of the way we use that word today, because when we say perfect, we mean without a flaw. Guess what? That leaves all of us out. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about us becoming complete, being mature, that we're not lacking in anything. Now, I want to tell you something. As a leader, that's a great place to be. To get to the place where you are mature, where you're complete, where you're not lacking in any area. See, when God has developed that kind of growth in you, you can go to a whole nother level of being a leader. And so when you face those tests, that trial, that's how you count it joy. Because you know that God's working in you something to make you a better leader. Now, when I say leader, I'm not talking about a position. I'm talking about influence. I'm talking about impact. I'm talking about making a difference in other people's lives. And I'm talking to you mom and dads and you grandparents, because I'm telling you, you have a great opportunity to impact your kids, your grandkids, to make a real difference in their life. But you need to have some qualities developed in you. And you know what? The sad thing is, whether we like it or not, sometimes those qualities, they come through perseverance in the tests and the trials. That's how we get there. Really, if you want an easy life, leadership is not for you. But if you want an easy life, following Jesus is not really for you either. Now, I say that because I think sometimes people get the idea that if we're serving Jesus, it just ought to be easy. Why do bad things happen? Why do I have to go through this? I'm serving Jesus, and I'm just telling you, yes, there's going to be hardship. Yes, there's going to be struggle. But here's the other side of that coin. The way of the transgressor is hard. Life's harder when you don't follow Jesus. We just got to get rid of that attitude, though, that here I am being a good little Christian, and now why am I going through this? No, instead, we need to face it with joy, knowing that it's not to kill your faith. It's to try your faith. It's a trying of your faith. And it's going to develop something in you. Perseverance. What's that mean? That means you don't quit. You're just going to keep going. I got to tell you, if you quit, you don't get to the next level in leadership. You don't grow as a leader if you quit, if you give up in the times of testing and trouble. But whether you're leading in the church or the workplace or home, there's always going to be trials. It can be money trials, marital trials. It can be your own personal weaknesses, But we're all going to face all kinds of trials, all shapes and sizes, car trouble and headaches and cancer and two-year-old tornadoes and teenager typhoons and all kinds of trials that come your way, false accusations and slander, persecution, people saying things about you. And you know, for most people, failure and disappointment, defeat, can be one of the most difficult kinds of tests. And especially for a leader, those things can make you just want to give up. You know, when you're trying to raise godly children and one of your teenagers is going off the deep end and heading the wrong direction fast, it can just make you feel defeated. And I'm telling you, it's another test. It's another trial. They come in all shapes and sizes. There's all kinds of them. And one of the most difficult ones for any leader is to feel like you failed, to feel like that you messed up. But notice this. He says, when you fall into various trials, temptations. You see, nobody plans it. You don't have to. You'll fall into it. They'll come to you. You'll find them. And here's the thing. You see, we got an adversary. We live in a fallen world. There's a lot of imperfect people. And besides that, there's a lot of even evil people that do bad things. People a lot of times just do dumb things, foolish things. And to top it off, we all make mistakes. And so we find ourselves in all kinds of tests and trials. Some of the devil's making, some of somebody else's making, and some of our own making. But we find ourselves facing all kinds of trials. And I'm telling you, in leadership, there is always the test of trials. They come one way or another. Greater leader, greater testing. Do you know we see that in the scripture? You look at some of the greatest leaders of the Bible, people like Joseph, who became second in Egypt. God raised him up as a great leader to the saving of many lives. It was through his leadership that the whole known world was saved from famine. Great leader. But you know, he went through 12, at least 12, some say 15, but he went through a long period of testing, a great trial, where his brothers sold him as a slave. Then as a slave, he's falsely accused and thrown into prison for something he didn't do. He's forgotten about there, and the years just keep going by. What a great test, a great trial that Joseph went through. But God raised him up as a great leader. You think about the man Moses and how Moses, at 40 years old, had everything going for him. Education, power, prestige, fame. But it wasn't until Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness taking care of sheep before he was finally ready to be the leader that God needed him to be. God had to develop some things in him. He went through a 40-year test. But God developed some things in him and raised him up to lead 2 million people. How about David? God anointed David to be king at 15. But he had 15 years of testing before he ever became king. 15 years. Some of that time he was running for his life, hiding, living in a cave. And yet God developed something in him during that time to prepare him to be a great leader. And you know what? The testing never stops. Even for these great men, even after they became great leaders, they still had all kinds of tests and trials. And sometimes they overcame and sometimes they didn't. But here's the thing we need to understand is that testing always precedes promotion. Now we're talking about in God's kingdom, right? And we're not talking about promotion like, oh, I got a new position. It may come with a new position, but that's not really what we're talking about. Because what real leadership, it doesn't require a position. You see, sometimes it's right where you are that God promotes you. I mean, every parent would like to be promoted in the eyes of their kid, where their kid looked up to them as a spiritual leader, as an example they could follow. What parent, what Christian parent wouldn't want that kind of promotion? You see, in the workplace, it's not just about getting a higher paying position. No, it's about being promoted as that person that other people look to, that other people are going to say, hey, could you pray for me? Hey, I'm going through this, and they want to open up and talk to you about it because they see you as somebody that can make a difference, somebody that can help. I'm talking about that kind of promotion, but we just need to understand this, that there's always testing before promotion. I don't know if anybody in here plans on becoming president, but I hope some of you plan on becoming a great dad or mom or servant in the church. You know how you get there? It's how you handle the testing. So going back to James 1, 3 and 4, he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I'm just telling you, it produces that perseverance in you where you just keep going. You see, that's real character. And that character causes you to become complete. You're not lacking in any way. Now, think about this. What if you were not lacking in anything to be a leader? And none of us has arrived, but what level are we on? But think about this. What if you were not lacking in wisdom in any way? What if you were not lacking in discernment? What if you were not lacking in long-suffering in dealing with other people? You see, not lacking in anything, how powerful is that to be that kind of leader that you have what it takes, whatever it takes, you got it. You know how you get there? Perseverance. And you know what develops perseverance? That test of trials. You got to deal with the test of trials. You got to persevere and keep going, trust in God. Face those trials with joy because you understand that you can become a great leader, a great mom or dad raising godly children. You can be a great friend to a new convert. You can be a light in a dark place. You can make a difference in eternity. Because God has developed something in you. You know, Jesus had all kinds of tests and trials. He was tempted of the devil. The Pharisees were always trying to trick him, always trying to catch him in something that he said. They were constantly accusing him, always trying to find a way. And he had demons that would yell out. Well, you know, he'd be ministering in a service, and some demon would start yelling out. Well, Jesus just saw it as an opportunity to cast out a demon. But I'm just telling you, he had all kinds of things. You know, in the day-to-day, he had people just constantly bringing him every imaginable desperate need. Constantly. He faced it all day long. He dealt with all these problems, every problem imaginable. And somehow, he turned them all into opportunities. Now, that's great leadership. Well, somebody can say amen. There's no better leader than Jesus. That's great leadership. So how can we face our trials with that attitude that they're an opportunity? Well, we need to face them the same way Jesus did. We need to be prayed up. You know, Jesus was always prayed up. He was always ready for whatever happened. There was never a time when Jesus was like, whoa, I don't know what we can do here. I don't know. No, he was always ready because he was always prayed up. When the disciples couldn't cast out a demon, they said, Lord, why couldn't we cast it out? After Jesus cast it out, they said, why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus says, because of your unbelief. But then he goes on and he says, however, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. What was he just saying to these guys? He told them it's because of your unbelief, but he also told them you guys weren't ready. You hadn't spent the time in fasting and prayer to be able to cast this kind out. Guess what? Jesus had. He was ready. And we need to be ready for whatever comes our way. A lot of times problems come and we're in a panic, scrambling, don't know what to do. We're already underwater saying, save me, Lord, save me, Lord. It's too late to learn how to swim. You know what I'm saying? We need to be ready for whatever comes our way. And I'm telling you, the way you do that is you stay in prayer. You're always ready because you've been praying. Ready for the trying of your faith. Ready to stand against all the wiles of the devil. See, the disciples weren't ready for that trying of their faith. We got to be ready. And like Jesus, we need to be led by the Spirit. It was the Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And Jesus overcame those temptations. And he overcame every trial that came his way because he was led of the Spirit. And like Jesus, we need to walk by faith, knowing that with God, all things are possible. If you've got an impossibility before you, you need to see it as an opportunity for God. All things are possible with God. Always have that mindset of faith. And the next time a problem comes up, you look for an opportunity for God to move and God to work. Well, I'm going to go faster. When your child has a conflict with a teacher, or maybe you have a conflict with a coworker, you don't have to get all bent out of shape and act like a heathen. No, instead, you can see it as an opportunity for you to love your enemy. You can see it as an opportunity to pray for those that mistreat you. You can see it as an opportunity for God to do a miracle. You can see it as an opportunity for you to be an example to your child, an example to your coworkers, for them to see that there's something real about your faith, something life-changing. That's being a leader. And I'm just telling you that we got to be ready for those kinds of trials because they come. And it's that character that grows you as a leader in the eyes of your coworkers and your children and friends and your enemies and most of all in the eyes of God. Tests, trials. My wife Carmen is such a good example of faith and perseverance. She's a spiritual powerhouse. But I've known her for over 39 years, and I can tell you, she didn't get there in a day. It's something that was developed in her and that she grew in. And I'm telling you, there's hope for all of us. We just need to understand there's going to be tests, and the test of trials is something that we all have to deal with all the time, and it count it joy because it'll make you a true leader. a great leader, mature, complete, not lacking anything. Now, there's two more we're going to talk about, two more tests, and they're going to go faster. They're shorter. Aren't you glad? I'm trying to get somebody happy. The next is the trust test. We are all tested by what God entrusts to us. Every one of us has been entrusted with things. We've all been entrusted with time. We've been entrusted with certain abilities and talents. Now, some have more than others. But all of us have some abilities. All of us, every single one of us have certain abilities. Every one of us has been entrusted with opportunities. Again, some have greater opportunities than others, but all of us have some opportunity. All of us have been entrusted with money. Now, some of us may say, not very much. Sure, some have more than others, but all of us have been entrusted with some material things. We've all been entrusted with precious things. You know what? Every believer is entrusted with the mysteries of the kingdom, with the truths of God's word, things that we need to be good stewards of, to share with others. And here's something that I think a lot of people don't realize. If you have children, you have been entrusted with something that's very valuable. In fact, if you're talking about something valuable, there's no price you can put on that. And so if you have children, I'm telling you, God has trusted you with a precious, priceless, valuable possession, something that you need to be faithful in how you handle. Some are entrusted with ministries. And I say, on some level, every believer is entrusted with ministry because we've all been entrusted with some opportunity to be used by God. We're all part of the body of Christ. We're all part of the work of the ministry. So all kinds of things that we've been entrusted with, and I'm telling you, that is a test. I can assure you, it is a test to determine what kind of leader you're going to be and how far you're going to go as a leader. How much you're going to be entrusted with in the future. I know this parable is familiar to most of you. Matthew 25 and verses 14 through 28. Where Jesus tells this parable about a man that's going to go to a far country. And before he leaves, he calls his servants together. And he entrusts one of them with 5 talents. This is a huge sum of money. And another one with 2 talents, and a third with 1 talent. And when he finally comes back, the one who was given 5 talents has used it. He's worked with it. He took what was entrusted to him, and he made the most of it, and he doubled it. The second one, who had 2 talents, he took what he had, and he used it, and he doubled it. And both of those men, when their Lord returned, he says to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." But to the one that had the 5 talents that had made 10, he told him, he said, "You're going to be ruler over 10 cities. That's promotion. That's going somewhere as a leader. Now I want you to understand, it's not talking about literal cities. This is a parable where Jesus has given us a principle. And it's not just talking about, yeah, someday when I get to heaven, I'm going to be ruler over 10 cities. It's talking about right here in this life that when you are faithful in the things that God has entrusted to you, he's going to promote you. It's not just in the sweet by and by. It's right here, right now, in this life, that when we are faithful and we make the most, what are we talking about? Time, treasure, talents, opportunities, whatever God has entrusted to you, we make the most of that. Now, the last man who was given just the 1 talent, he hid it. He did nothing with it. And the Lord said, take that one from him and give it to the one who has 10. The man said, well, I hid it because I was afraid. But the Lord said to him, you wicked, lazy servant. Now, I just want you to realize that when God trusts us, when he entrusts something to us, it is absolutely a test. It will show whether or not we are faithful, whether or not we are trustworthy. He will hold us accountable. You know, the Lord weeds out, and I'm talking about in the kingdom. You see all kinds of stuff in the world, but the Lord weeds out wicked, lazy leaders. They lose even what they have because they didn't do what they were supposed to. They didn't do what they could have with the opportunities that they had. So how do you become that leader of 10 cities? You just be faithful with what God has entrusted to you. It's one of the greatest principles of leadership we could ever learn, is that testing precedes promotion. And here's the second test. You're going to be tested by what is entrusted to you. Time. What do you do with time that God has entrusted to you? I want to remind you of this old thing Benjamin Franklin said, don't squander time, it's the stuff life is made of. So if we're wasting time, we're wasting life. I think sometimes the young waste time because they have so much of life ahead of them. They think, oh, it doesn't matter. I got time to goof off and play games. And I think the middle-aged waste time because they're so busy that they don't have time for the things that are really important, or at least that's what they think. And sometimes the elderly waste time because they think their time has already passed. I just want to tell you, if you're still here, God's not done with you. The Bible says in Psalm 92:14, they shall still bear fruit in old age. That's the way it's supposed to be. Still bear fruit, still leading. In fact, I tell you, sometimes it is in those latter years that we can have the greatest influence. We've learned so much, and we have so much to offer. But you know, when you talk about time, we have all these time-saving devices, but we have even more time-wasting devices. That's the truth. You know, people had a whole lot more time before we had all this stuff. It's amazing. Technology can save you so much time, but for most of us, it wastes far more. But to be a good leader, you gotta make good use of your time. Here's the truth. I don't want to get anybody mad, but I'm just going to say this stuff. Listen, if a dad sits in front of the TV for 6 hours on Saturday and 6 hours on Sunday, he's not leading his children very well. You say, oh, but I need that time to relax. I want to tell you, we all need some time to rest and some time to relax, but we got to be good stewards of our time and not waste it. See, the coworker that fools around and wastes time, they're not a leader. Great leaders don't waste time. Great leaders don't waste opportunity. Great leaders don't waste money. They use what's entrusted to them. I'm going to say this again. We all have talents and abilities that have been given to us, entrusted to us. We all have been blessed with certain things. And you know what? I think sometimes, like the wicked servant who had only given one, I think we all think, well, I'm just a one talent. I was just given a little bit. And so we think that little bit doesn't matter. What difference does it make? I didn't have anything to start with. But you know what? That's all the more reason we need to make the most of what we've got. If God just gave you a little bit, then make the most of it. Because you know what? When you do, he's going to bless you with more. He'll increase you. That's the principle of the kingdom. Be faithful with the little, and you'll be trusted with much. King David went out and killed Goliath. But you know what? That wasn't his first fight. No, King David had already killed the lion and the bear. See, a lot of people, they're not ready for a giant. They hadn't killed the lion and the bear yet. And you know what? The Bible doesn't say this, but I can just pretty much assure you that as a shepherd, if he killed a lion and a bear, he had also already killed a coyote and a bobcat. You hearing what I'm saying? Listen, we got to start where we are. We got to deal with the trials, the battles, the tests right where we are. And we got to use the things that God has given us. Use the opportunities that God has given us. That shepherd boy, he used what he had and he became king. It took a while, but he was a great king in spite of his failures. God used him mightily. The test of trust. God will hold you accountable. Not for what you don't have. He's going to hold you accountable for what he's entrusted to you. Get your eyes up. See, anytime we start comparing, start looking at other people, it's either going to lead to pride or discouragement. One of the two. So don't compare. Just realize that what God has entrusted to you is for you to use for his glory and honor, the best of your ability, and he's going to hold you accountable for what you do with it. The last test is the test of success. How many of you want to be tested with success? Four of you. Come on. No, we want to win. We want to overcome. We want to be successful. We want to be successful in whatever our work is. We want to be successful as parents. We want to be successful in anything we do in ministry for the Lord. Sure we do. But I want to tell you, this test catches a lot of people off guard. We all have some successes in life, in some area, on some level. You need to be ready for the test of success, because I'm telling you, so many are not ready for it. There's going to be a test. And when it comes to leadership, the test of success is huge. See, when you win a battle, when you've overcome, when you've got the promotion, when everything is going right, and you can see this in Scripture, and I can testify to it in my own life. You see, it is in those times, a lot of the time, there's this great test that comes, the test of success. A lot of people can't handle it. A lot of leaders can't handle it. Even in the Bible, you see a lot of men and women of God, when they had some success, then they had a great fall. A little bit of success can tempt us. It can tempt us to no longer give our best, to just kind of coast, maybe even become lazy. I'm telling you, it's pride, really. I got this. Test of success. It works like this. It is one of the greatest stumbling blocks. It's pride. And you see this with King Saul. Saul was so humble when God called him to be king, but then after he had some success, he had some victories, it went to his head, and he ended up disobeying God. He ended up doing things that only the priest was supposed to do, and he lost it all because he didn't handle the test of success. He became prideful and arrogant, and it destroyed him. Pride goes before destruction. And you know what? When we start thinking that we know what we're doing, when we start thinking, I got this, I know how to do this. You know, one of the things that the trying of your faith, those tests, those trials, you're going through that, one of the things that you find when you're really going through it is humility. That's a character trait that we need for when success comes. Because the worst thing that can happen to you is for you to become prideful. It'll bring you down faster than anything. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And so when you have a measure of success, you know, it's amazing how a child, a teenager, can teach you humility. When you thought that you were a great parent, and all of a sudden you're dealing with something you can't control. Okay, nobody knows what I'm talking about. It's just me. But anyway, the test of success, stay humble, give God the glory. Don't allow yourself to think more highly of yourself than you should. Always give the glory to God. Always give thanks for every success. When I pull into this church parking lot, I thank God. I thank God for this beautiful building. It was so long coming. But oh, how the Lord blessed us. And I never ever think, not even for a second, look what I did. I only think, Lord, look what you did. We paid this building off back last January of this year. And I never think, oh, wow, look what I did. I think, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And one of the ways that you can guard against falling into pride and you can pass the test of success is stay thankful, stay grateful for every battle that's won, every time that something goes right. You give God the glory. You say, thank you, God. You see, when those kinds of things happen, we do one or the other. We either get puffed up with pride or we give God the glory and we thank Him for it. And so that's how you can overcome that test of success and stay humble, as you just always giving God thanks. He exalts. You're talking about leadership. He exalts those who humble themselves. That's what the Bible says. He brings down those who are prideful, but He exalts those who humble themselves. So, the test of success, here's how you can know. When we're prideful, we become assuming. Where once we would have prayed and sought God, now we just assume. We know what to do. I don't need to pray about it. See, anytime that we get to a place where we're not praying about things, we got a pride issue. And sometimes when we've had some successes, we think we got it down, and so we don't really need to pray about it. Yes, we do. We need to always go to God, because apart from Him, we can do nothing. Don't let the test of success get you into pride. When we're no longer bragging on God, then we've missed that test of success. When we become critical of other people, because you know, when we're critical of other people, pride has gotten in. We're no longer realizing ourselves that it's God who has blessed us when we start judging others and looking down on others. Testing, testing, testing. Test of trials, test of trust, test of success. Testing will make you a leader if you're ready for the test. All of us need to lead right where we are. Stand with me, we're going to pray.